Welcome, everyone, to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and I'm so glad that you are joining us today. We are live in the studio, as always. We have a couple of our radio team going to join me in a few moments. Usually there's at least one of them in here in the studio with me, but today they're not. So that's all right, because Betty and Megan both will be joining us in a few minutes for a powerful show. We are just always so blessed to have this opportunity week after week to share the good news of the gospel with you, to share what God is doing in our lives, to talk about the principles found in his word that absolutely bring life to each of us. I love the words in Psalms that says, "Thy word has revived me and given me life." That is such a great verse. I love that. David said that. "Thy word has revived me and given me life." And today on this radio broadcast, God's word is what will bring you life and revive you no matter what's going on in your life. David also said in Psalms, "This is my comfort in my affliction, that thy word has revived me." I love that, the comfort in our affliction. So there are times that we are going through very difficult times, and we're going to talk about some of those today in the book of 1 Samuel. If you have your Bible and are not driving down the road, but can sit and follow along in your Bible, let's go to the book of 1 Samuel. It is a joy to know that God is always right there with us all the time. We just came from our nursing home ministry that we do the first Sunday of every month at Palm Garden Nursing Home in Clearwater. And it is so much fun. And I say fun because it really is fun to be there with these residents. And now it's been like 3 years since we've been going there the first Sunday of every month. And to have that consistent time of fellowship and teaching, but in particular singing is what we do the most of while we're there. So we just sing and sing and sing. And we sing a lot of the old songs that these dear ones know, like "How Great Thou Art" or "Amazing Grace" or a lot of Sunday school songs. We do a lot of those. "Jesus Loves Me." We always do that one. And it just today, the room was just full. It was full. There were people in the hall, and that's typical of our services there at Palm Garden. But to see the joy on faces as they're singing about Jesus. And some of them are not able to converse much at all, but they remember the words to the songs, the old songs that they grew up singing. And so it's so important to get these, to get godly music down on the inside of you, because when you're going through a difficult time, you can draw on that, the strength of music that is down on the inside of you. And it just blessed me so much today. Cedric, you, I know you've never been there, and it's an unusual, thing if you were ever in a nursing home setting like this. But so interesting that music, people remember that, Cedric. I mean, you're a musician. You understand the power of it. It's just that passion, you know, that is ignited in people when they hear songs that they know. I mean,
absolutely.
You know,
and it sticks with you, and it has more meaning.
It does. It does. And I'll tell you, if you could have seen the faces today of all these people sitting there, and later we found out that some of the ones that were singing every word, they can't even converse.
I know.
They cannot
it's
even.
Incredible.
They can't carry on a conversation. They cannot communicate. But yet, God's word is still down in them through these songs they learned as children.
It's beautiful.
That's just crazy, isn't it?
Beautiful.
It really is. So anyway, it was an exciting time. And, you know, someday we'll have to take you along there. Because, I mean, it's just fun to see. Nathan plays the keyboard.
Oh, cool.
They have a little keyboard. And, you know, everybody sings. And it's just fun. It's just fun. So if you're in the Tampa Bay area and ever want to visit with us on the first Sunday of the month at Palm Garden Nursing Home, you're welcome. Our service starts there about 1:15, and it's only about 40 minutes, 35 minutes. It's not very long. But it is just a joy to be able to minister in that setting. We are in a series right now called Flowing in the Spirit. And I'm pretty excited about this, and we're going to talk about this a lot in this show, about flowing along with what God has planned for our lives. Sometimes unexpected things happen. Sometimes, you know, life throws a certain curveball, and sometimes those curveballs are pretty good. Cedric, you just had a new baby, so that's a really good curveball, right?
Yes.
How is she doing?
She's doing well.
Yep, and beautiful, beautiful little girl.
Yes.
So, how many weeks old now?
I would be...
You gotta know this, Daddy.
Six. Mm. I'll double check.
All right.
Going from memory, it should be six.
About six. Okay, that's pretty cool. That's great. And so, congratulations to you and Heidi on that birth. And last week, I was not here because my great-grandbabies, the twins, were here visiting for 6 days, and my granddaughter and her fiance, the baby's daddy, were here, and we just had a wonderful time. And so I spent last Sunday afternoon at a big family reunion where all of my extended family got to meet the babies. So it was a lot of fun. I'll tell you, I've been doing a whole lot of diapering and burping and feeding and all. You're doing that, right?
Oh, yeah, I know about that.
But it's great, isn't it? It really is. It's fun.
I have no complaints.
No complaints at all. Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, we're going to get started with a song here, and then Betty and Megan are going to join us in just a moment. This song is by the group Big Daddy Weave. And I don't think I've heard this song. Connie continues to come up with new music here for the show. This one is called The Only Name.
Yours will be the only name that matters to me. The only one whose favor I seek. To me, yours will be the friendship and affection I need to feel my father smiling on me. The only name that matters to me, and yours is the name.
Song. Woo, when I wake up in the land of glory, that name that I will proclaim is the name of Jesus. There is no more powerful name on earth than the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, blind eyes open. At the name of Jesus, deaf ears unstop. At the name of Jesus, people can receive salvation. It is all about that name. Betty and Megan, are you on from Indiana, girls?
We are here.
You are there. Hey, good to talk to you. I haven't talked to you for a few days.
Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
Oh, just great. Had a wonderful time with the family and the babies. And I tell you, it's taking me back to my younger days, taking care of the little babies, you know, feeding them and burping them and all that stuff. It's a lot of fun. And you got a grandbaby coming. And Megan is going to be the mama here, right? Again.
Amen to that.
Yeah. Hey, Megan. How are you?
Hi, Pastor. I'm wonderful. How are you?
How are you feeling?
You know what? I think I have cleared the nauseous phase. I'm feeling great.
Oh, good. That's great. All right. Well, that's fantastic. And you're going to love and enjoy that baby just as much as we were enjoying the little great-grandbabies this past weekend. It's just a lot of fun. So... But it's a lot of work, and that's okay too, right?
So, amen.
So you two are great up in Indiana. How's the weather?
It's a little chilly.
Chilly? Yeah.
A little chilly, but the sun's out.
All right. Well, it's beautiful here, so I'm not going to even try to tell you how gorgeous, you know, but it really is, I got to tell you. So anyway.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to make you guys feel bad or anything.
No, not at all.
No. We're in our series on flowing in the Spirit, and where we are with this right now is, you know, getting in step with what God is doing and allowing Him to speak to us. And today's topic is going to be about prayer, because to really flow with what God wants, we got to be talking to Him. We got to be talking to Him. And Betty, I think a whole lot of people don't understand how to talk to God or why they would even want to. What do you think about that?
I believe that you're probably 100% correct. The thing that I think a lot of people do is that they only talk to God when they're in a desperate situation.
Right, yes, yes.
And the mindset change that we have to have in that situation is that we can talk to Him every single day, 365 days a year.
Right.
Because He's never on vacation.
No, absolutely.
And He wants us to talk to Him through prayer.
Well, He does. And I think a lot of times people just get caught up in their busy lives and they don't see a need maybe to take time to pray. Megan, you're never like that, are you? I mean, I think we all are, aren't we?
Well, sure. I would say we're all guilty of it because we're human. And, you know, it's like we don't have to specifically sit down in a quiet spot.
No, we don't.
We can be in our car.
Right.
And, my time with the Lord and even with my little almost four-year-old, we praise Jesus in the car.
Absolutely.
And we talk to Him in the car. So,
right.
You know, putting on a song and just worshiping Him as you drive, that's a means of communication too.
Amen. Amen. And the value in that, where we direct our attention to, like this song just said, the name of Jesus, you know, the importance of getting that name taught to our children and grandchildren and all those around us, the importance of, I mean, little Andrew cracks me up because he knows the name of Jesus, doesn't he?
He does, and I have to tell you, his favorite song is Toby Mac's Steal My Show, and he is, the more we listen, the more he is learning the words, and it brings a tear of joy to my eyes, because he said, that's my favorite song, Mom. What was it he called it the other day? You'd put it in the... Take My Show.
Take My Show, all right.
Take My Show.
Okay. Well, we can't start too early to train our children, you know, in the ways of the Lord and the importance of that. And this story in 1 Samuel, I find fascinating. And the Lord took me to this, to teach this today, based on the fact that so often we go around the same mountain of problems over and over and over again, and we don't get our breakthrough. And Betty, you and I corresponded a couple weeks ago about 2 Samuel 5, where David said, He is Lord of my breakthrough. You know, and I don't know about y'all, but we each need breakthrough in our lives, and that's what this show is going to talk about today. Betty, isn't it easy to get in a rut and go around the same mountain?
Yes, and I learned something new today.
You learned something new today, Betty.
Yeah,
this is cool.
As old as I am, I learned something new today.
Megan, how can this be?
Hey, it's a praise God kind of day.
Okay, good. All right.
Yeah, see? You can teach an old dog new tricks.
You can. Yes, you can.
It's the power of our words.
Oh, it's so important. Yes, our words. That's just, you know, Psalm says, or Proverbs says, death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
And when we don't understand that, we can say all kinds of things to others, to talking to ourselves. I know some people talk to themselves, right? And put themselves down, give themselves a hard time. We're going to kind of talk about this in 1 Samuel 1 today. The work that the devil does to really keep us under our circumstances, not over them. You know, the devil has no interest in you getting answers to prayer. Megan, did you know that? He does not want you to get any answers to prayer. So what does he do? Go ahead.
He is constantly knocking on your door, trying to get your attention
right.
diverted away from the kingdom of God.
Constantly. Absolutely.
That's his job.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And suggestions after suggestions. The devil is he's just a big old suggester, you know. Talk to me about that, Betty. And we're going to set the stage here with Hannah in just a minute. But talk to me about what the devil does. I think this is a good intro into these concepts we find in chapter 1 of 1 Samuel.
Well, he comes in like a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah, he does.
Mm-hmm. Is that sometimes even unbeknownst to us, we might give in to certain things that he tries to put upon us, like
right.
fear,
right.
condemnation, that tries to, like what Megan said, divert us
yeah.
from the Word of God, divert us from the things of the light that God wants us walking in the truth and the light. And it's we all fall victim of it from time to time. I know I do. I can't speak for anyone else, but one of the things that has crossed my path in the last few weeks is worry.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that, you know, we can keep asking and asking and asking and asking and asking, but the one thing that we have to do is believe.
Amen.
And our faith, and it's by faith
right.
that we conquer that, and rebuking the devil to leave us alone,
right.
get out of my thought pattern, because all I want is God's word embedded deeply inside of me. And when you do that, you know what that does? That makes the devil so angry.
Oh, he hates it.
He just stomps off and says, oh, there she goes again, doing that rebuking thing. And it's like, hey, I'll do it as much as you tempt me, because I don't like him messing with me. I don't like him messing with my family. I don't like him messing with the children of God or the body of Christ.
Right.
And that's where we have to become so in tune, and our discernment has to be so keen to realize what he's trying to do to us.
Well, he's always up to tricks, you know, and he's always trying to keep us from victory, you know. And I've got to just insert this right here, because you two don't know this that has happened. In the last 2 days, Friday and Saturday, we hit another high water mark on our prayer line of requests that have come in from all over the country, different places. And we actually hit 34 in 2 days, which
wow.
is a lot of need out there. A lot of people are finding our prayer line by email, which is prayers@bohmglobal.com. And Carol and Pastor Jim, but most of these came through Carol, wrote all these prayers. I don't know, you two probably saw all this happening Friday
yes.
and Saturday.
Yep.
It was crazy. This morning, I get a call very early from Maxine, and the ambulance is on its way, and Carol has been taken to Emory University Hospital because of heart issues this morning, which we stand against. We
Amen.
Refuse them
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, and she can't hear us because she's at the hospital right now undergoing tests, but she is a vital part of this ministry, and the devil hates it. This is the point when we get victory, when we stand in the gap for people, when we pray and intercede, the devil hates it, which means we got to do it all the more. Okay, we got to do it all the more. And I mean, Carol was triumphant last night when she called me and said, can you believe 34 prayer requests came in a 2-day period? That's a lot, guys. And people, a lot of people of these, I've never met. I don't know these people. Praise God, they're using the prayer line. That's what it's all about. But the devil gets mad when we are interceding and praying, and we're going to see that here, what Hannah did. But the devil doesn't like it, so he's going to cause all kinds of hassles, ridicule, problems. Talk to me, Megan. I mean, this is profound, and it's right on today. Timely for what's happened to Carol, which, by the way, we know she's going to be fine. We thank God that she will be. We don't have the reports back yet, but we are believing God for no heart attack, etc.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Meg.
Well, you know, one thing, I've never met Carol in person.
Oh, she's great. She's a fighter, all right.
She's going through those tests, or she's laying there waiting on those results, and I'm telling you, that woman's praying. And we are in agreement with her that she's healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
And I'll tell you what, when you are in victory, when you stand in victory, Satan's going to try even more to attack you.
Absolutely, Megan. Absolutely.
And, you know, when you get in those situations, you need to become even more of a fighter. You need to have even more faith. And the more faith you have, the more miracles we see. And I am proclaiming that those, was it 32 or 34 people?
34.
That those 34 people are going to receive miracles in the name of Jesus.
Amen. And there was like 8 or 10 more this morning that came in. So it's been, it's an interesting thing that's happening right now. The devil may be attacking, but he doesn't realize that with every answer to prayer that we get stronger.
Amen.
We get more determined to fight him. We get more determined. Carol's not going to be beaten down by this. Just because she's got some symptoms that are, you know, flaring up does not mean it's going to get to her. I tell you, I've known her too many years. She is a fighter. You're right. She's a tough old bird. And you know what? We agree with her and with Maxine for her healing. Now, when we're up against a battle, you know, that song, Praise the Lord, that old song, when we're up against a struggle that just really comes at us, you know, that really tears us. And Hannah had such a struggle here in 1 Samuel. And chapter 1, Hannah was the wife of Elkanah. He was a believer. He was a God-fearing man. He had two wives. This was customary back then for two or multiple or many. That was the society, the customs that they lived in. Hannah and Penina were the wives of Elkanah. Elkanah was the husband. Penina had been gifted with many, many children. And if you understand the Jewish community, what was going on back when God put them together with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, he said to them, you know, multiply, you know, have a lot of children. And we know they did, because Jacob and his 12 sons became a mighty nation. And 400 years after Jacob had these sons, the children of Israel went out of Egypt and started into the promised land, going around the wilderness, around that tree or that mountain over and over again. And they did that. When they left Egypt, they were over 3 million people. And when they began 400 years before, they were only 12 people plus daddy and mommy. So amazing what happened. So the whole culture was have children, have children, have children. Grow the Israel nation, the Israelite nation. That's what was going on here. So Betty, talk to me. How do you think Hannah felt the fact that she did not conform to what was expected of her by her husband and by the culture?
Well, in reading 1 Samuel, it seemed like that, you know, maybe she had gotten a little bit despondent.
Very well could be. Yes, I think so.
A little bit down in the mouth.
Oh, yeah.
They were ridiculed, you know. Penina, is that how you pronounce it? I pronounce it a different way.
I don't know. That's how I pronounce it, Penina. I don't know. How do you pronounce it?
I pronounced it Penina.
Okay. Either way,
again,
whatever.
You know, I'm older, and my phonics isn't as good as it used to be.
Well,
but But she made fun of her.
She made fun of Hannah all the time.
And she kept taunting her. And, you know, even in today's society, is that, you know, a woman who sees another woman with child or sees her with children and she has none of her own, it makes her feel unworthy.
Absolutely.
I was blessed with one child, and I give God all the praise and glory for just one child. But it comes down to the point of, if you've never walked in anyone's shoes, don't try to judge them
right. And
point fingers at them because you don't know what they're going through.
Right.
And I think that when she did finally come to her senses, because everyone was saying, why are you doing this? Why don't you eat? Why are you crying? Why
right.
are you doing this? Is it was it was even back then, it was the enemy taunting her to get her down to the point where, you know, and all of us have felt this way, you know, we're less than what we should be. We're not fit in God's eyes. You're an outcast. And I think it hurt her.
Oh, it hurt her terribly.
I think she was tremendously downtrodden to the point of wanting to give up. But, you know, like everything else, there always comes that point in time where God pulls us out. And that what we have proclaimed with our mouth is that she needed to proclaim victory rather than I need this, I want this, I dedicate my son to you, this, this, and this. It was her words that set that action in motion.
Oh, absolutely.
To God.
I agree with you. And I think it's about verse 6 maybe where it said this went on year after year. And what went on, Megan? What was going on? How was Penina, let's say that's how you pronounce it, how was she treating Hannah, even though Hannah was suffering here?
She was treating her, honestly, like she was worthless.
Right.
Like she didn't have any place in their family because she couldn't produce any children.
Right.
And she was judging her. She was condemning her. All of the things that we're not supposed to do to each other.
Right.
And, you know, I can't even imagine somebody happening to deal with that for years, that, you know, she just felt absolutely worthless. And I believe, honestly, that she probably wanted to die because she didn't know what else to do, because she was constantly being tormented every single day, having it thrown in her face that she didn't have any children. But as we read farther down into the chapter, she overcame and had a victory because she prayed.
Absolutely. And yes, and that's where we're going with this. I want us all to just picture and feel Hannah's rejection, maybe her despair, because this says that this went on year after year. We're not talking about something that lasts for a couple weeks or a month, a problem. We're talking about a lifetime of agony. I mean, don't you two see this, that intensity of Hannah's feelings? Betty, talk to me about this. Megan, you're right on about all that you just said.
Well, you know, being a mom,
yep.
I don't know what it would have been like not to be a mom.
Okay, good point. I have some friends that were not able to ever have children. So, and I, one in particular comes to mind, and it's been a painful thing for her in her life. It really has.
Well, you know, it's almost like a tearing away of what God wanted, you know, what God had intended us for is for procreation, to create, you know, children in his image.
Right.
And
it doesn't happen to everybody, though. It really doesn't, does it?
No, it doesn't. And I think that when we see Hannah in this state that she was in for so many years, is I have to still call her a strong woman.
Right.
Because to be able to be ridiculed, I mean, cruel, I mean, this is downright inhumane cruel to
right.
be able to say to someone to their face, you know, I'm sorry you don't have children, and then make fun of her, to be cruel.
Right.
And it just, she had to be a strong woman to be able to stand that for that many years.
Oh, I agree. In the Message Bible, and I'm not sure what verse, I'm thinking about verse 5 of 1 Samuel 1, it says, But her rival wife taunted her cruelly, rubbing it in and never letting her forget that God had not given her children. Now, what does that go back to? It goes back to Satan behind the scenes, the accuser of the brethren. And that's Amen. Revelation 12, 10 to 12. And can one of you find that passage and let's read it, Revelation 12, 10 to 12, because I think a lot of people, I really believe, Betty, that a lot of people have no concept that this kind of harassment and taunting and cruelty and ridicule that happens through a relative, through a friend, through a coworker, through a spouse, does not come from God. This does not come from God, this kind of treatment. This is evil, and we need to call it what it is. So whoever, whichever one of you has that passage, go ahead and read it.
Did you get it, Mom?
No.
Pastor, you said Revelation chapter 10?
No, 12, 10 to 12.
12, 10 to 12. Okay, I got it.
Go ahead.
Let's see. I'll just start because the Message Bible doesn't.
Yeah, that's okay. Just wherever.
Very well, it says, when they've completed their witness, the beast from the abyss will emerge and fight them, conquer and kill them, leaving their corpses exposed on the street of the great city, spiritually called Saddam and Egypt, the same city where their master was crucified. For 3.5 days, they'll be there, exposed, prevented from getting a decent burial, stared at by the curious.
That's not it. That's not it. Hang on. Revelation chapter 12?
I hit the wrong one.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Let's start over.
All right, let's start over. Revelation 12, 10 to 12.
Okay, let's do this. War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought the dragon.
Yeah, there you go.
Is that it?
That's it.
The dragon and his angels fought back, but were no match for Michael.
Mm-hmm.
They were cleared out of heaven, not a sign of them left. The great dragon, ancient serpent, the one called devil and Satan, the one who led the whole earth astray, thrown out, and all his angels.
This is going to happen someday, or he
Amen.
Will be thrown out. Go ahead.
And thrown down to the earth. Then I heard a strong voice out of heaven saying, salvation and power are established. Kingdom of our God, authority of his Messiah. It says, the accuser of our brothers and sisters thrown out, who accused them day and night before God. They defeated him through the blood of the Lamb and the blood war of their witness.
The bold word of their witness.
The bold word of their witness.
Yeah.
They weren't in love with themselves. They were willing to die for Christ.
Okay, this is such a critical two or three verses right here, because this will happen. There is coming a time where the devil will be thrown down for all eternity. In the meantime, it gives us a glimpse of what he really is all about, the devil, and the way he maneuvers people, the way he talks to people. And we see his nature right here, Betty, the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them day and night. I mean, this is huge right here.
It's a bold explanation of what in our minds do we need to see this with our eyes,
right?
What we are doing to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad thing is, Pastor, is that we see it day after day after day. We see it even in the body of Christ.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Is that, we're talking behind each other's back. We're saying the pastor's not doing, what he or she should be doing. And we had a bold lesson this morning that if you don't like it, get out. And we all have to come to the decision of, if we want to be unified in the body of Christ, we have got to start talking like the body of Christ.
Amen.
We have got to start uplifting each other. We've got to stand behind our pastors. We have got to get involved in the church, get involved in what God wants you to do.
Amen.
Just don't stand back and be a watcher on the sidelines. Get into the game and watch what God will do. It makes the enemy that much more. It pushes him back behind the line.
Amen.
Let's say it's pushes him back behind the line of scrimmage because
right.
he doesn't like what we're doing now. The more we become unified, the more we start speaking and proclaiming with our mouth, and our words that we speak become alive.
Amen.
Our words speak life, and that's what we need to start doing to each other, is speaking the word of life to people, not death.
Well, you just said exactly the answer for the accuser of the brethren. It's found right here in these verses. They defeated him through the blood of the Lamb and the bold word of their witness and the word of their testimony. And so often the words of our testimony are so negative. They are so defeated. Oh, nothing's ever going to change. And I mean, I can imagine Hannah saying, oh, this Penina, she just treats me terrible. I just feel awful. And we can get into a cycle like that, I believe, and go around that same mountain of defeat over and over again with our own words causing us the problem. Megan, talk to me about this because I think this is huge, and I think this is what was going on with Penina and Hannah.
It is, and Penina was a spokesperson for Satan.
Absolutely she was.
And
she was being cruel. Yes.
How many of us in our own lives have encountered somebody like that?
We have, yeah.
And how many times have we been a Hannah and we've let it go on way too long
before
we actually said, hey, you know what? I rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I rebuke your words because they have no bearing over me.
Amen.
And it's just like when you let yourself continue to drag your feet around the mountain.
Right.
And when you continue to speak nothing but words of negativity, you're doing the same thing to yourself as Penina did to Hannah.
Totally.
So, you're never going to change your situation if you're always negative.
Exactly. And Megan, that's exactly what was going on with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. They had about, and this is just crazy, this fact. I love this fact. They had about an 11 to 13 day walk into the promised land. But instead, it took them 40 years. Betty, what were they doing during those 40 years? What a lesson. What a lesson to all of us.
It should open our eyes. it boils down to the fact that when we walk in victory, when we proclaim with our mouth that I proclaim my healing.
Amen.
I proclaim victory over my finances.
Right.
I proclaim that my marriage that's falling apart, I proclaim right now in Jesus' name. And just by those, just that proclamation
yeah.
that you make, that stake that you plant in the ground,
right,
is that you are, the words that you speak, again, I'm going to say this, the words that you speak with your mouth
yep.
should bring life to whomever you talk to, even to yourself. I think the Israelites, you know, they had saw many, 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 many miracles.
Right.
But Pastor still didn't really sink in yet.
Well, no. I mean
that's my own opinion. That's not, you know, anything
it's
out
exactly
of
exactly right. They saw the Red Sea, for heaven's sake. They saw the Red Sea part and stand up 75 feet in the air. The water froze solid, and they walked across on dry land, yet they mumbled and grumbled and were so full of negativity, turned their back on God, had Aaron make that golden calf. They did all of that kind of stuff and walked around the same mountain, the same, let's use an Indiana term, cotton picking mountain. 40 years.
Well, you know, that's a lifetime to some people.
Absolutely.
And it boils down to is that if they would have listened with godly ears, if they would have spoken godly thoughts, if they'd spoke life, if they'd have spoken words of encouragement, if they wouldn't have doubted.
Right.
If they would have gotten out of their comfort zone and saying, well, you know, I don't know if this can go on. Do you know what negativity can do to a person?
Oh.
If you hear it for that long?
Oh, absolutely.
It's just, you start, you know, you're a spokesman for Satan.
Right.
And you had the ability, I mean, they had the ability to get out of there.
Right.
But they, you know, they chose to say, oh, well, I want to just keep my tent here just a little bit longer. Because they didn't have the faith to stand up and say, okay, Moses, Joshua, let's get out of here. Let's get this done. Let's get this done now.
No, they didn't have that.
They just didn't have that kind of faith.
But they were walking in such negativity. I'm going to direct everybody to Proverbs chapter 18. Let's look at two verses there because it goes right along with here. This is the only time we hear about Penina. We don't hear about her anymore. All we hear is that she was a person of negativity and cruelty to Hannah. Okay? And look at Proverbs 18, verses 20 and 21 in the Message Bible. And if one of you have a different translation, get ready to read that. Megan, can you find whatever different, like NIV or something?
Yep, man, I sure can.
Okay, Proverbs 18, verses 20 and 21 in the Message Bible said, words satisfy the mind as much as fruit does the stomach. Good talk is as gratifying as a good harvest. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Okay, Megan, what do you have in the NIV?
I got fruit from, I can't even talk. Dear Lord, help me. From the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit.
Woo! All right. I don't know about y'all, but I love life, and I want to say the right things that are going to continue to keep me going strong and healthy. Betty, talk to me about this, and then we'll get with Megan a comment here about this.
Well, I think that the fruit of life is what we need.
Right.
Our words, we can either rejoice with them, or we can cause pain.
Yes.
We can cause pain and suffering with what we say, or we can, again, like what they said, you can choose life.
Right.
And there, it amazes me still today how people will come into a congregation, and you'll hear them talking in the sanctuary about this, this, or that.
Right.
And what if someone who was just a little bit leery about knowing the Lord or were close to knowing the Lord, and they hear someone who has maybe belittled the pastor, belittled the church, or doing this, what are people going to think when they walk into that congregation?
Right.
When you walk into a church, you should hear nothing but positive words of life. And this is not coming, you know, this always comes from the pulpit, comes from the pastor, but it should be from the parishioners.
Yes.
From everyone who calls themselves a Christian, that we have to turn around now.
Amen.
It can't be 3 years from now. It can't be 2 weeks from now. We have to start now with proclaiming the victory in Jesus' name.
Amen. And Megan, we're going to get your comment on the other side of this song because it is a perfect segue into this song about being hungry for God and falling on my knees. And that's what we got to do.
Does not
Wow. Falling on my knees. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Megan, talk to me.
Well, I'm going to go back and comment on the fruit of our words.
Okay. Go ahead.
You know, I'm reminded of Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
That tree, the fruit, can be disguised as being the most beautiful thing that you've ever seen in your life, and you can be tempted.
Right.
And it can only take one piece of bad fruit to ruin you from returning to the tree.
Right.
And so, you know, within a congregation, there can be one bad piece of fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And that one piece of fruit can ruin something for several people if we allow it.
If we allow it.
Exactly. But when we speak words of compassion, we speak words of love, we speak words of grace, that we can turn any situation around for anyone, because that song about surrendering to the Lord,
right,
is that we need to all look at our hearts. We really need to take a deep look and
right,
see what's really down in there, because we need to surrender those hearts completely to the Lord so that he can make them pure and full of compassion and full of healing words, full of good fruit, not full of bad fruit like Satan wants us to be.
Amen. And when we do surrender like that and understand that the accuser of the brethren is going to continually try to cause us to do his work, the devil's work, when we learn to resist and stand strong and allow ourselves to be humble before him, then the things that come out of our mouth begin to change, and we are no longer, we don't see a heart change with Peninnah here in the story. We don't. But we see that Hannah really gets serious about talking to God. Betty, talk to us about that. Good words, Megan. That's right on, right there.
Yes, yes they are. And I think that the reason why it gives us a glimpse, just a brief viewing of what it was like during that time period,
right,
for Hannah.
Yeah.
And that what that lady did was, you know, turn negativity into life. And she took what could have been death and turned it into life.
Amen. You're talking about Hannah now, right?
Yes, 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 most definitely.
Yeah.
And that when she did bear fruit and when she did come out and proclaim that, you know, she was going, you know, what she proclaimed with her mouth, she did by through prayer.
Right.
And proclaimed it, and guess what she got?
Absolutely.
She received it.
But it took a decisive action here, because in, I think it's about verse 7 of chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, you see that Hannah was reduced to tears and had no appetite. And I think that is a good picture of what happens a lot of times to us emotionally, through abuse, through maybe emotional abuse, through being put down, through being treated terribly, the scum under somebody's feet, like an abuser treating us awful. And we reduced to tears and no appetite. I think that's a pretty good description of a lot of people who are victims of domestic violence, or have been abused in some way in their workplace or a marriage or whatever the case may be. And I think Hannah is pretty typical of a whole lot of people that have had somebody speaking cruel words, evil words, taunting them, treating them. Talk to me, Megan, because I think this picture of Hannah is so right on for today, too, let alone thousands of years ago, you know?
Amen. And, you know, just sitting here thinking of this story, Peninnah, if what you mentioned was that the Israelites were supposed to grow, they were supposed to,
right,
to bear children and grow that community for God.
Right.
You know, I have to just think to myself, what kind of position was Peninnah putting herself in when her children saw her condemning Hannah?
That's true.
And we're supposed to be raising children to see the goodness of the Lord.
Oh, good point.
And to see the righteousness and the way that we're supposed to treat people. So I look at it from that perspective, too. It's like Peninnah, her children saw the way she was treating Hannah.
Right.
And
good
so
point.
These 10 children could grow up. I think she had 10. Is that right?
She had quite a few. I don't know.
I'm not looking at my Bible. But those 10 children could have grown up to be more accusers of the brethren.
Right.
But then you have Hannah, that when she prayed, that she proclaimed that that this child that she would bear would be a servant to God, because she had seen what it was like to be treated like dirt and to be treated like scum. And she wanted to raise her child in the way that he should go, in the way of the Lord.
Amen. And I think it's very interesting here. You're right on there in verse 8 that her husband Elkanah recognizes this, sees it. But I think it's also interesting that he doesn't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't see any action here on Elkanah's part. He just says to her, why are you crying? Why aren't you eating? Why are you so upset? Am I not worth more to you than these 10 sons? Or than 10 sons? I think that's where you got it. In other words, what's wrong with just, you know, just bask in my love for you? You know, that didn't solve her problem,
no.
Did it?
Mm-hmm.
What, Betty talked to me about this, because I think that's an interesting perspective that Elkanah thought he could, well, what's the matter with you? You know, isn't my love enough? And, you know, why are you upset? Don't, you know, discounting her pain. He was discounting it, discrediting her pain.
Well, Megan and I had an in-depth discussion this week about the abusive situation that I had as a child.
Okay.
And one of the things that it brought to mind is that the person who is doing the accusing, or the person who is standing behind the scenes, like a husband or so forth, is that their ego gets in the way.
Uh-huh.
And it's almost like they enjoy doing what they're doing to discredit her or to condemn her,
right,
to make her feel less than the way that she was supposed to be.
Right.
And what it does is, Pastor, is that you develop you put up a wall.
Absolutely, walls, yes.
You think that, you know, it's not getting to you. But then, like with Hannah, it started affecting her appetite.
Amen.
It started affecting her emotionally.
Yes.
And, you know, he saw it as maybe a ploy, and again, a ploy for sympathy.
Uh-huh, could be, yeah.
A ploy to, but to her, it was bringing her down to a point of, I don't think I can take this anymore. I am tired. I just want to crawl in a hole and pull it in after me. But I think that she was a strong enough woman to say, okay, because in the next chapter, she could just slip away quietly. But again, she started to eat, and she realized that she had to do something.
That's it. I'm glad you said that. That phrase was on the tip of my tongue. She realized she got to the point of decision, because we know in these verses that this had been going on for years, girls, years. And a lot of, maybe even our listening audience right now, has lived in abusive situations for year after year after year, and nothing has been done about it. And until a decision is made to turn the corner, it won't turn.
Amen. Well, I think you, being a child, or even being an adult in that situation, is that, I'm going to tear up here. God wants us to live abundantly.
Amen.
He wants to give us more than how we've been treated.
Yes.
And when you come to that realization, if you're under the control of a controlling person.
Right.
Because to me, mental abuse can be just as destructive
as
absolutely. Physical abuse.
Absolutely.
And I know that you have, in an abusive situation, you can see the physical marks.
Right.
But in a person who has been verbally abused through accusations and so forth, the hurt, it's a lot harder to heal than and see
right.
that there's a lot more involved than walking away from that type of relationship.
Right.
Because you're afraid to.
Oh, a lot of times you're afraid to, yeah.
Oh, you're afraid to, because you lose that security. You lose that ability.
Pastor, you can lose your ability to even think.
Oh, I agree.
You just want to just go away quietly and disappear and hope that no one ever finds you out where you are. But I think that she had that. There was just this little, still, small voice was talking to her and says, hey, come. I can help you.
Oh, I agree. I think God was pulling her. I really do.
I do, too.
Oh, we've got so much more to talk about this in the next hour. You two can hang on with us.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Listening audience, as you can tell, we're in a pretty deep discussion. It's been like counseling 101 today in my sermon at Beacon and now this. But you know what? We need to face these things in our lives, and we need to know that God can and will change circumstances when we get ready for that. And when we say, okay, God, I'm going to do something about this. So we're going to talk more about it in our second hour. We mentioned our prayer team, prayers at bohmglobal.com. We encourage you to use the prayer line. Betty, there's so many people out there that don't know who to turn to when they have a trauma, a problem, a bad medical diagnosis, etc.
And He is our Jehovah Jireh.
Amen.
He's our Jehovah Rapha.
Yes.
He is all things to us.
Yes.
And the one thing that you have to the listening audience needs to remember is that God is omnipotent.
Yes.
God is with us. And if God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen. Amen. And so he answers prayer. Would you both agree with that?
Amen.
He
amen,
prayer.
Amen.
Woo! So we invite you to use our prayer line, prayers at bohmglobal.com. Write your request out. If you want to be a part of the prayer team, that it right now is composed of people from different states. You don't have to come to our church locally here in Clearwater to be a part of the prayer team. A lot of people that are on the prayer team are not here in Tampa Bay. So you are welcome to use that prayer line, tell others about it, write it down somewhere and give it to a friend. And if somebody wants to write a request and just put your name as anonymous, we get that too. So that's okay. Prayers at bohmglobal.com. Station ID, and we'll be right back.
WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
Hey, all right. You are listening now to the second hour of Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. Betty and Megan are my wonderful friends up in Indiana who are a part of my church I pastored up there many years ago. Long time ago, girls.
Yes.
Mother-daughter, Betty and Megan. And what wonderful friends you are and what a valuable asset you are to our radio team at Beacon of Hope. And even though you're in Indiana, doesn't matter. The power of technology is great. You can be a part of the ministry here. And a lot of people in other states are a part and actually have jumped on board in the last few days. We had a financial need that needed to be taken care of. I am very happy to report today that last deposit on our new building was made successfully on time on Friday, November 1. So we are current and all is well. And to each of you that sent money, praise God. God bless you. It's good soil to plant in Beacon of Hope. Betty, do you want to talk about that? Because I think a lot of people don't realize the importance of planting finances, tithes and offerings.
Well, you know, you bless and you will be blessed.
Right.
You know, pressed down, shaking together, and running over.
Right.
Is that, you know, planting a seed into God's kingdom helps it to grow.
Amen. Amen.
And what we do is that with our tithes and offerings, that it helps spread the word.
Yes.
We had an illustration today is that, you know, you give your tithe, offering, or alms, whatever whatever your heart leads you to do, is that could pay for, you know, gasoline that goes into a bus that goes and picks up a child at home, brings them to church, and there's a life saved.
Right.
So, when you plant into the kingdom of God,
amen,
it goes towards advancing the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And that's so important today because people are kind of hesitant in giving because maybe some of the things that has happened you know, maybe in a church they've been to or whatever. But when God will bless you and bless you abundantly when you give into the kingdom of God.
Amen. And, you know, the soil of Beacon of Hope is very good because all we do is plant the word in people's lives. That's what it's about. So you can be assured that when you give financially, your donations are going toward preaching and teaching the word of God. You just go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and go to PayPal and give a donation. Megan, this song, I think you are the one who brought it to my attention a few months back by Chris Tomlin. Whom Shall I Fear? What does this mean to you? And what does this have to do with Hannah today?
To me, Whom Shall I Fear? My answer is nothing, because I am a child of God.
Your answer is nothing, fear nothing,
I'm
right?
Fearful. I should be.
Are you fearless? Fearless.
Yeah, fearless. We should all be fearless, because being children of God, we are victorious in every situation because we have the creator of the universe on our side.
Amen.
And, you know, no matter what situation that you're going to go into it with a different mindset that you're going to be victorious. You're not going to be defeated. You're going to be victorious.
Amen.
And maybe not to someone else you were victorious, but if you kept your faith through that entire situation, do you know how much stronger you're going to be on the other side?
Amen.
So that's what that means to me.
And so, don't you think this became Hannah's cry, Whom Shall I Fear?
Amen.
I think she got to a point she was no longer afraid of Penina and her evil words. Here we go, Chris Tomlin. Love that song. Nothing formed against me shall stand. I'm holding on to your promises. You're faithful, Lord. You're faithful. You're faithful. And Hannah reached out to God in her hour of pain and suffering in 1 Samuel chapter 1 in about verse 10 or 11. Betty, how joyful is it to know we have the Creator God, omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing, everything about Him loves us so much. He is with us every minute, every moment of the day. Woo! And night.
You know, oh, it tell you, it gets to the point where you're... It just makes you just want to shout.
Well, go right ahead, girl.
Oh,
go ahead and shout.
Yeah, you don't want me shouting on the radio.
Woo! All right. Well, just blow out the circuit, huh?
Okay. Yeah, it just, I tell you what, it just puts Cedric back a few days.
Hey, you know what? I have heard you shout, woman, when you get really into the things of God and you're praising God. And you know what? That is the place that we need to be. And there are times that it's very hard to get full of praise and thanksgiving because circumstances are so bad, like we've seen here with Hannah. But then Hannah made a decision, Betty. She turned a corner.
And guess where she went? Into prayer.
Amen.
And, you know, life changes.
Yeah.
Your circumstances change.
Yes.
When you're on your knees.
Yes, yes.
And it got to the point, just like in Chris Tomlin's song, the God of angel armies.
Woo!
I mean, it's right here in, you know, in the, who would you rather have on your side than the God of the angel armies? And he's so loving. He's so kind.
Yes.
That he says, you know, come unto me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
I'll give you rest.
And that's where she went. She went to the feet of Jesus.
Woo!
She went to the feet of Almighty God and cried, was it say, uncontrollably or unconsolably. That showed right there that her surrender, that she put the past at the foot of Christ. She put the feet, she put the all of her burdens on the altar, so to speak, and said, God, the God of angels' armies, help me.
Woo.
And she surrendered. She totally surrendered everything.
Yeah.
I'm tired of it. I don't want it happening anymore. And that's where we have to go.
We have to
do, Pastor.
We have to get to that point where we get fed up or get sick and tired of being sick and tired, you know? I want to make this point before I bring you back in here, Megan. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So when we go around the same mountain, like the children of Israel did for 40 years, when we go around the same hurts, the same pain and agony, and we don't ever get our healing emotionally, mentally, physically, whatever it is, we just keep going around that same thing. That's the definition of insanity, going around doing the same thing over and over again, and expecting it to be different. So now, with that segue, Megan, talk to me.
Well, you know, it makes me sad because I can only imagine some of the situations that people are in that they just continue to basically lay there and take it.
Right.
And, you know, it's with Hannah, it's like you wished for that type of situation that people could walk through the open door that God is standing in instead of continuing to circle the mountain
right.
over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Because when you do the same thing every day, just like you said, the definition of insanity, when you do the same thing every day and you don't make a positive change or a positive impact on somebody else, how is your road ever going to differ other than just going straight forward with blinders on and never realizing that you're doing the same thing every day?
Well, that's what Hannah was doing.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you don't think there's anything better for you. And I'm here to tell you that, yes, there is, because just like with my mom, she was raised in an abusive situation when she was a child. And you know what? With the power of the Lord, she chose to seek Him, and she chose to break the cycle of abuse, that she chose to be a better parent than the way she was parented when she was growing
up. Amen. Amen.
So, It's just like Penina. It's just like Penina's children. Maybe they chose to make a different impact than their mother because they knew what she was doing was unholy.
Right. Could be. We don't know. But you're right. So, it comes around to making a decision with as some people call it, the hand we've been dealt, you know,
amen.
Or what family we grew up in. And I think probably for a lot of our listeners, folks, it wasn't very good because that's the nature of the times we live in. You know, people have traditionally down through the ages probably been human nature's angry. It's resentful. It's bitter. It takes it out on those around us. You know, when we've been hurt, we want to hurt. I mean, that old thing, hurt people, you know, that's what happens. It becomes a vicious cycle of behavior. Go ahead, Betty.
I think there comes a point in time where you get sick and tired.
Yeah. And I think Hannah was. I think she got there.
I honestly believe that she got sick and tired of being made a pawn.
Yes.
She got tired of being the object of ridicule. And, you know, I mean, you come to a point, and I will use myself as an example, of worrying about leaving Indiana and going down to the Deep South.
Right.
Is that I let, for a certain period of time, I let Satan lead me to believe that if you go down there, you're going to lose everything. Go down there, you're going to lose touch with, you know, with the church. You're going to lose touch with your daughter, your grandson. You know, you're going to lose your animals. But you know what? One day I opened my eyes and I realized, wait a minute. Who do you think you're dealing with that I let you tell me?
Yes.
A child of God, a woman who believes that, you know, all things are possible through
Amen.
Christ strengthens me.
Yes.
And that's when I got up out of my pity party and I said, look,
Amen.
I rebuke you.
Amen.
You're out of here in the name of Jesus. I got down on my knees in prayer and I asked God, I surrender all. God, I want you to help me, lead me, and direct me in the way that you want me to go. You know
Amen.
Why? Because I got sick and tired of being told that I was this or I was that or this was going to happen. Uh-uh. That's not what God's promises are to me.
Amen.
God's promises are true. God's love endures forever, and that's the key word is love. God's love brought her out, brought little Hannah out to the point where she said, I'm not going to take it anymore.
Amen. And I
Sorry about that. Preaching there, Pastor.
No, you go right ahead because you are exactly right, and I think that as we go around these mountains of pain and we go around over and over again, children of Israel, 40 years. Some of us have gone around the same issues for so long. And it's like we have a magnet. I said this to a friend of mine the other day at lunch. And actually, she's a counselor friend of mine that I highly respect. And I said, it seems like sometimes I got a magnet on my head that attracts the kind of person that is just going to hurt me. And we really talked about that in detail. And, you know, there are times, guys, that we have to take a look at our situation, take a look at our own behavior and say, okay, God, I surrender to your will. I want to deal with these painful situations that I'm going through or have gone through. I love what Hannah says here. And you know, the song we just did, Megan, Whom Shall I Fear? I think Chris Tomlin took it from the Message Bible because he used God of the Angel Armies. And that's the way the Message Bible translates God's name. But anyway, here's what Hannah says. Oh, God of the Angel Armies, if you'll take a good hard look at my pain, if you'll quit neglecting me and go into action for me by giving me a son, I'll give him completely, unreservedly to you. I'll set him apart for a life of holy discipline. What do you see there in her impression of God's attitude towards her, Megan? What do you think Hannah is thinking that God thinks about her? Because look at those strong words she says to God.
Well, you know, I look at it, she made a proclamation to him. I mean, when she was praying, she proclaimed that if she was blessed with a child,
right,
that she was going to raise him in the way of the Lord.
Amen.
And when you speak, when you pray, they should, it should be words of power, because we are
Amen.
Entitled to be victorious.
Yes.
So when you pray, pray with meaning and pray with power. And you know what? Some of us get kind of loud when we get passionate about the Holy Spirit and the miracles of God.
Woo!
Because we know that miracles happen.
Oh,
and
amen.
And a miracle happened to Hannah.
Yes.
Because she prayed for it and she had faith, even after years and years of abuse.
And that's flowing in the Spirit, because she got to a point, and I believe God was leading her and allowing, God allows these painful things to happen to us for us to get to a point where we desire change and where we're going to say, I'm going to do what it takes to get your blessing, Lord. Like Jacob wrestled with God all night long and said, I'm not letting go until you bless me. Talk to me, Betty, about this, because I really think Hannah had a huge breakthrough. He's Lord of the breakthrough.
Yes, he is. If we come to the point of total submission,
yeah.
If we give our heart totally to him,
uh-huh.
if we let him have total control of our lives, he will bless our socks off.
I don't have any on today. And so I tell you, I've been blessed all day long.
You're sockless. But it comes down to the point, Pastor, of... we got to want to change.
Oh, we got to want to. I mean,
we have.
Yes.
You know what? I'm going to change that. We have to have a desire to want to change. We have to take ourselves to a point where we say, God, it's all yours.
Right.
And
surrender.
I think that's what Hannah did, because once she prayed that prayer, is that she was bursting. I mean, I love in the second verse, I'm maybe getting ahead a little bit.
Go ahead.
She was bursting with God.
Oh, yeah, she was. In the second chapter, yeah.
When you're walking on air, once you have a breakthrough like that.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it's like it's just like you see 300 rainbows, you know, you've just been given, you know, a breath of new life.
Woo.
And I think that's what he had given her, is a breath of new life, because the air that she was breathing was stagnant. It was it was dirty because of all of the condemnation that she had felt for so long. God breathed on her,
Woo.
And he breathed into her new life.
He certainly did, and it took her surrender. Megan talked to us about this, because Hannah came to a turning point. She came to a place she had to turn left or right. You know, when you come to a T road,
yes.
You know, in Indiana, we have some of those where you
yes.
come to a T and you got to go left or right, or turn around and go back the way you were, right?
That's right.
And it's a decision time. Go ahead.
It is, and some people don't want to face those decision times, so they turn around and go back the other way.
Right.
But if we could just have mustard seed size of faith,
yeah,
and turn to the left or to the right to change our situation, so that we can take the trials that we've been through, like Hannah was, and turn them into a blessing, and to turn them into a testimony. And that's what Hannah did, because she was blessed with a child.
Yes.
But you know what amazes me, and this still happens today because Satan is still there, is that when she was praying, her husband accused her of being a drunk.
Actually, it wasn't her husband. It was Eli the priest. And
Eli the priest, excuse me.
Yes, he did.
He was being drunk.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a minute. Because that is so important that we talk about that concept. Let's get this song in by Storm. Romeo Martian, the prayer that changes everything.
Presence, speaking words of reverence, loving. everything. Every time I look to you, I see what I'm born to do. Exalt your name, behold you above all things, and know that all of you I see, it changes all. Welcoming your presence, speaking words of reverence, loving you becomes my offering. I'll never be the same again, 'cause praising you, it changes everything. Changes everything. Welcome in your presence, speaking words of reverence. Loving you becomes my offering. I'll never be the same again, 'cause praising you.
Praise God, I'll never be the same again. When we take that time to pray, it's prayer that changes everything. So now, Megan, tell us what happened to Hannah after she prayed, after she turned the corner, and instead of wallowing in her self-pity, instead of staying down and defeated by the abuse that she was receiving in her home life, instead she turned a corner, made a decision. Talk to me, Megan. Are you there?
Are you there?
Okay, now we got
Sorry
you back.
About that. It says in the Message Bible that her lips moved, but no sound was heard.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why Eli jumped to the conclusion that she was drunk.
Right.
And
it's interesting how a priest of God would jump to that conclusion that she was drunk when she's
exactly.
sitting there
and
praying.
No, he said, you're drunk. How long do you plan to keep this up? And she said, oh, no, I'm not. She said, I'm a woman hard used. I've not been drinking, not a drop of wine or beer. The only thing I've been pouring out is my heart, pouring it out to God.
Yeah.
So don't for a minute think I'm a bad woman. It's because I'm so desperately unhappy and in such pain that I've stayed here so long. And so, you know, for him to accuse her in such a, I want to say such a vulnerable time, because she was vulnerable and she was pouring her heart out to her Savior, asking for help. And, you know, so many people that we see that are struggling, how many of us have chosen to condemn those people instead of supporting them and praying with them and for
right.
them
yeah.
instead of, you know, slamming a knife into their back and saying that, oh, well, you're just drunk. No, she was having a private conversation with the Lord.
Woo, good point. Wounded people so often wound others. Like we said a minute ago, hurt people, hurt people. Betty, talk to us about this. Isn't this an interesting picture of humanity and human behavior here?
Yes, because you don't want to kick someone when they're down.
But people do it, and religious people do it all the time in particular, don't you think?
Oh, most definitely. We need to be that extension of
yes.
God's hand
yes.
to reach down instead of kicking them and hitting them, is to be an extension of God's hand. Reach down and pick them up.
Right.
And I think that, you know, Hannah did tell Eli that, you know, she was unhappy.
Right.
That she was in pain, and that she'd been there so long that she just wanted to come out.
Yeah.
She wanted to come out and say, God, help me. and he told her to go in peace and ask, you know, whatever she would ask for. And that's one of God's promises, ask and you shall receive.
Well, I think it's interesting there in verse 17 that as soon as Eli realizes she's not drunk, he's been used by the devil to be the accuser of the brethren. Here we go again.
Yeah.
And accusing her of something that isn't true. And when he realizes that, he says to her, go in peace and may the God of Israel give you what you have asked of him. In other words, he puts himself in agreement with her that whatever you ask God, I'm in agreement with that. I'm going to, woo, that's power. That'll preach right there, girls. That'll preach. Yeah. Megan, talk to me about that.
Well, you know, it's amazing that, I mean, if you can examine your heart and if you see that you're an accuser of the brethren,
right,
ask God to forgive you for your sin.
Right.
Because that is just that's just evil. I mean,
right.
we should not be condemning other children of the Lord. We shouldn't be condemning anyone because we're supposed to be uplifting. And, you know, if you've done that, then you need to get down on your knees and you need to ask God to cleanse your heart because that's impure. And I mean, even in my short period on earth, I have seen so much condemnation. I mean, it's just like you said, is there like a sign on my head that attracts those type of people? Because
yeah.
It's like I can't believe that I've been through all this in 32 years, but, you know, it took me all those situations to realize that there was a reason why that those people were put into my life.
Right.
And that was for me to be a witness of who I am in my heart, and that's a pure child of God, and that I never stooped to the level that they stooped to because I knew in my heart, because I have compassion, that that is not what we are supposed to do.
Amen. Mama Betty, talk about what your daughter just said.
Well, I think that I've said this before, that, you know, the things that we go through, the trials that we go through, are something that we were going to give a testimony about.
Amen.
In the future.
Right.
And, you know, you think you have a magnet. Well, I've always thought I had a bullseye on the back of my back that people could just, you know, hit me whenever they wanted to. But it comes to the realization that God, you know, he's our shelter. He's our fortress.
Oh, amen. Amen.
That's where when people do that to us, it should make us stronger, and it should make us want to, I don't want to say that they're attracted to us, but they see something in you or they see something in Megan that attracts them to you.
That's what my counselor friend said, actually.
And that's why I think that God, what Megan said, God puts those people in our way or in our life for a reason.
Amen.
And I think it's for them to see Christ in you.
Amen.
That you show them the love of God, because you're not going to stoop down to their level and start accusing me of doing this or me of doing that. It's like, I want to show you. I want to be an extension of God's hand to you to show you what God has done for me.
Amen.
And again, that's your testimony, my child. That is where he hasn't brought it. Let's see, what's that old saying? He hasn't given us this to leave us. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind.
Amen. And yes,
you are that person. You are that person, Pastor. Megan is that person. Is that God has told you years ago that you are going to preach the word of God, that the word that is sharper than any two-edged sword.
Amen.
You are going to preach that word to my people, you know, north, south, east, and west.
Right.
And you're his servant.
Well,
Megan is his servant, and you
so are you. So
you are called.
Yeah, so are you. All of us.
I'm talking about myself, but it comes down to the
right
point. The point I'm trying to make is that when Hannah realized where she was at, where she was going,
right,
she made a change.
When she realized that she could actually petition a loving Heavenly Father,
yes,
for
amen,
a specific prayer. Father, I want a son. And when I get that son, I'll give him to you. And most of us have, when we ask God for something, it's so that we get to keep it, you know? So, yeah. You know, I want this. Here's what I want. And I don't plan on giving it back to you, God, because, you know, I'm asking you for it. So, but Hannah was, her attitude was, I want a son and then I'm going to give him to you. And I mean, look at that. I mean, that attitude of, I realize that if you give to me, I give back to you, God. That give and it shall be given to you. You know, mm-hmm. planting the seed right here. And Hannah's, her whole, evidently this going around the same mountain year after year after year. Finally, she got her belly full of it. And I believe some of our listening audience needs to hear this and hear it strongly, that the Spirit of the Lord is saying, it is time for you, my child, to rise up, get your belly full of whatever abuse, whatever ridicule, whatever condemnation the enemy's throwing your way through some people, or whatever those accusations are, get your belly full of it. Decide, you know what, I'm turning this corner. I'm coming up to this T road and I'm either going left or right. I am not going to turn around and go back around that same mountain over and over and over and over again. Talk to me. Go ahead, Betty, go ahead.
It got me to a point where my feet got sore and
your feet got sore. What do you mean?
My feet got sore because I got tired of walking through the same stuff.
Exactly.
All day. Every time, you know, all day long.
Yeah.
That my shoulders and my back
yes.
became burdened.
Right.
And it's like, feel the freedom. Feel the liberty of what it does to you when you walk in victory, when you decide that you want to let go. And that old saying, let go and let God.
Oh, yeah.
Watch what happens, people. Watch what happens.
But that's what he tells us. Let go. He says, give it to me, you know. Mm-hmm. Bring me all your burdens and everything. You know, you quoted it earlier, and it was quoted in a prophetic word this morning at Beacon, that take my yoke upon you, and my burden is, it's light, you know, and I'll give you rest for your souls. And people, we need to run to God. We need to run to him when we are, when our back is up against the wall in these different areas in our lives and we have never dealt with the pain of the past, or there is something in our past that is just, it's unspeakable. We can't even talk about it. It is time to give that to God. Like Hannah did, she cried and cried inconsolably. She cried out to God. Megan, talk to me about this. This is where healing happens, at the foot of the cross, people, at the foot of the cross.
Amen. And, you know, I've been in a situation the past several years that I'm fortunate and blessed by the Lord to be a stay-at-home mom. And so limited income. So we live based on my husband getting a bonus at the end of the year every year. And I learned something very valuable last year, that I was in a spirit of worry. I had doubt. I was extremely fearful. And because I realize now this year that I let Satan control me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I chose that. I learned a lesson last year that I'm not going to let him do it this year.
Right.
And I'm telling you, I came out victorious because he tried, I can't tell you how many times, over and over and over again, to wear me down and to knock me out and to have $50 in my checking account and try to get me to the point of where I thought that our family wasn't going to survive. But I chose to be joyful, and I chose to proclaim that we were
Woo.
Going to be blessed.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, people, it didn't come in my timing. I had to wait. And that waiting was, I'll tell you what, it was horrible, and it tested my faith. But this year, it was totally different, because now that I've been blessed, it's now my time to not, I don't want to say bless people financially, but I'm going to share my testimony, and I'm going to bless people with the compassion of the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to bless them with teaching them about the faith that Ooh. I have been. I've been tried and tested, and it's stronger than it ever has been before. And that's the way that it is with Hannah. She was tested and tested and tested, and she finally got to the point where she had enough. And it was the same position with me. I had had enough. I'd had enough of Satan trying to control me and to condemn me and make me feel horrible. And I said, that's it. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
Praise God.
I am proclaiming a victory, and I'll be darned, it happened, and miracles do happen when we profess them and proclaim them over and over and over again.
Amen, Megan. And I just went through the same thing the last month or so about this big need we had at the ministry, at the church, you know, with this last final deposit on our new building. And it was huge and overwhelming. And yet God came through, and he came through like a day early, you know, like 24 hours early. Well, praise God. And he came through. And but you learn through those difficult times to trust God and know that he answers. Betty talked to us about this because Hannah did get her miracle.
Yes, she did, because she believed.
She believed.
She believed. I truly believe that she had what Megan said just a few minutes ago, the faith the size of a mustard seed.
Right.
It just takes that little inkling, that little glimmer of hope that says, yes, God, you're great. You're going to make me complete with all the fullness and life and power that comes from God.
Right.
And he wanted her, he wants us to be victorious. He wants us to walk in his love and his compassion. And that's where I think that she poured out her heart, and her compassion just welled up inside of her.
Yeah.
Because she was starting to become victorious.
Woo.
She stated it, she proclaimed it, and she received it.
Well, and then you look down in verse 18 of 1 Samuel 1, and she says to Eli, after they had come into prayer of agreement together, she says, think well of me and pray for me. And then she went her way, and then she ate heartily, and her face was radiant. Her hope was restored. In Hebrews 6, it says, hope becomes the anchor for our souls. And I love this. In the next verse, it says that up before dawn, they worshiped God and returned home to Ramah. So, I mean, I think her husband, she told him what was going on. They worshiped God together. They sealed that prayer, that intercessory prayer, with worship. And then, of course, it goes on to say that God began making the necessary arrangements in response to what she had asked. In other words, she did conceive and have a son, and she named him Samuel because Samuel means I asked God for him. I love that. Woo! Talk about a breakthrough, an answer to prayer. Megan, talk about this before we go to this last song we're going to do today. It's called Pray, but go ahead.
Well, you know, if we expect a miracle, we have to get down on our knees and surrender.
We do.
And pray and believe for a miracle.
Right.
And
or else we can just keep on going around the same mountain over and over again.
That's right. And I'll tell you what, eventually that has to get old. It really does. So if you want a miracle, then quit walking around the mountain and start praying for change and start believing in it.
Well, faith is acting like God told you the truth.
Amen.
Okay. So if we say, okay, God, you have reassured me that this is going to happen, or you're going to provide for our needs, let's say the ministry last week, that the need that we had, God, you said you will take care of our needs. You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Then we got to start acting like we believe that he is, and we got to praise him, and we got to thank him before we see it. Betty, talk to me about that before we do this song.
Well, I think what Megan was saying is that, you know, faith. The faith that, you know, that trust and believe in God.
Amen.
And he will deliver. He will, his promises is that he will deliver us.
Amen.
And we just have to learn how to get down on our knees and not necessarily pray for material things, but look around and say, God, thank you for what you've done for me and what you're going to do for me.
Amen. Let's hear this song by Sanctus Real, and then we'll talk more on the other side of it. Pray is the name of it.
I bow my head to pray. I don't know what to say. I'm not sure how to fix the things I'm dealing with. I'm in a desperate place. I need to share the weight, but I just don't know how to let it all pour out. And though I'm silent, my heart is crying, 'cause I was made to come to you. So I
God, I like that song. I've never heard it. Woo! I'm not sure how to fix the things I'm dealing with, so I lift my hands and pray. Betty, look at those words. They just fit in so perfectly. Hannah didn't know how to fix this mess with Penina, you know, and the fact that Hannah was childless, barren. She didn't know how to fix it, so she lifts her hands and prays.
Well, and that's, you know, that's where we should be. We should get to that point, Pastor, where we cry out to the God and say, Lord, give me relief from my distress and be merciful to me and hear my prayer.
Amen.
And that's what he did. You know, even if she had just mentioned the name of God, God help me, he was already on the scene.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what we've got to do. And we've got to reach out, and sometimes all we can remember is the name Jesus. Sometimes our situation is so bad or so painful or suddenly so traumatic. And those of you out there that perhaps are victims of domestic violence, and I know there are some out there, you got to just call out to Jesus, and then you've got to begin to really pray and seek the Lord and ask for change to happen, and then go through those doors, go through those open doors of change. Megan, talk to us about all this.
Well, you know, the Lord sees our heart. And so if you don't have the words to come out of your mouth,
right,
then just say, Jesus, look at my heart. You know the desires of
yes.
my heart. Please
yes.
give me the desires of my heart. And it's like in Psalm 34, it's in verse 6, it says, when I was desperate, I called out, and God got me out of a tight spot.
Woo.
God's angels set up a circle of protection around us while we pray.
Yes.
Open your mouth and taste. Open your eyes and see how good God is.
Blessed are you who run to him.
I was just going there. I'm so glad you went on to Psalm 34. That's just perfect, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen. Open your mouth and taste his goodness.
And in those situations, Pastor, we do. We need to learn to run to him.
Amen.
And not to other, drugs or
right.
beating up other people. We need to run to the Lord and ask him for help.
Amen. And too many people bury their anxiety, their pain, the pain of their childhood, whatever, in abusive behavior towards others. And this has got to be something that we are absolutely crusading against and standing against and causing people to realize they've got to run to God and get healing for that pain. Talk to me, Betty.
Well, the Lord led me to Romans 8:26. It said, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness.
Mm-hmm.
We do not know what we ought to pray for.
Right.
But the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit himself, intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express.
I love that verse. And that's all about praying in the Spirit and allowing God to pray through us. And we will teach on that sometime soon about praying in the Spirit and what that really is talking about here. But Hannah was praying in the Spirit here. She was pouring it out. She was crying inconsolably. She was giving it all to God. She was saying, here's my pain. And some of you out there in Radio Land, you need to be doing this. You need to let go of the pain of the past, and you need to ask the Lord God, God Almighty, God of the angel armies, to intervene in your situation and to cause your circumstances to change. Whoa, I'm going to pray right now. Betty and Megan, let's agree in prayer right now for our listening audience. Dear Heavenly Father, you know who's listening live and you know who will listen later on our website. Lord, you know the needs that are represented in this listening audience. You know those that are going through domestic violence. You know those who are just in so much physical pain, disease, sickness, illness, whatever it may be. Lord, you know those that have just been going around the same mountain over and over again for years and putting up with the taunts of the enemy, putting up with the accusations of the devil through relatives, through friends, through whoever. And Lord, we stand against all of that right now for them. We stand in the gap on behalf of these listeners. Lord, let them turn to you, Almighty God, the God who is our deliverer, our Savior, the healer of our past emotions, the healer of broken hearts. Lord, that is you. Jesus is your name. We just call on you now, and we ask you to bring healing into the lives of our listeners. Cause them to realize their need to pour out their pain before you. Lord, we ask this in the name of Jesus, and we believe you for the miracles needed. In Jesus' name,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And you can write me personally, pastor@BOHM. That stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. So let me do it again. pastor@BOHMglobal.com. pastor@BOHMglobal.com. This radio broadcast goes around the world live. We're live streamed. Also, it's on our website indefinitely. It's archived there, and there are hundreds of shows there for you to listen to and grow by. Betty, Megan, talk to me. What a powerful show. What a powerful time together.
Amen. It's a blessing. I just have to say that if you have baggage, if you have emotional hurt, physical hurt, don't bury it underneath a rug.
Amen.
Get on your knees and imagine yourself in front of the cross and leave it there permanently.
Amen.
Decide today to leave it at the bottom of the cross and give it to the Lord, because
Amen.
I was led to Leviticus 20, verses 7 and 8 before the radio show that says, set yourselves apart for a holy life. Live a holy life because I am God. Do what I tell you. Live the way I tell you. I am the God who makes you holy.
Woo.
So when you leave your burdens and your pains and your fears at the bottom of the cross, then you allow the Lord to come into your life and to give you the blessings that you are so deserving of.
Oh, amen. When you were saying that, Megan, it reminded me of an old song, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary.
Amen.
You know that?
Yeah.
Calvary. And so that is exactly what we need to do, is lay those burdens down. Let them go. Give them to God. He's the only one that can go back and heal that pain of your past. Betty, talk to us. Megan, profound words.
Yes, they were. And I think that, you know, the Lord is near to all who call on him.
Amen.
And when we call on him, Pastor, he hears us.
Amen.
And I know there's a lot of people out there that think, oh, you know, you've been a Christian for many, many years. You know how to pray. But, you know, I don't want to be known for the things that I didn't do. I want to be known for the things that I did do.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And it comes to a point when we give our lives to the Lord and we give out and we cry out in distress and we cry out for God, oh, God, be merciful on me. He is. He is just, you know, he's just a breath away. He's just a prayer away. And if I could suggest to any of our listeners is that if you don't know how to pray, that book of prayers that avail much can help you with that thing that you're struggling with. I mean, I've looked at that book the last 3 or 4 days, and I've been going through some personal stuff in my own life, and it is for my own healing. And, you know, I get so caught up in praying for other people. But I want the listening audience that if you're going through an abusive situation, is learn to pray for yourself.
Right.
Learn to ask
Amen.
God. Ask God for things that can help you deal with whatever you're going through. And that Prayer Avail Much book has taught me in just the last few days is that, you know, God is with us.
Amen.
God's love endures forever. And that, you know, even though it's been a long time since I've actually had to console a book for a prayer, but I have a hard time praying for myself, as you know, as Megan knows. And it's helped me to realize is that if I don't ask God for what I need, I mean, he already knows my needs, but he wants us to ask him for help.
Amen.
It's just like our earthly father wants us to talk to him. But our Heavenly Father wants us to talk to him even more.
Amen.
And we can do that through the power of prayer.
Oh, you know, if there's anybody out there in Radio Land that is not sure of your salvation, if you died tonight, would you be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity? Do you know that? Do you know you have that certainty? Megan, I'm going to ask you to repeat after me the prayer of salvation. If any of you out there listening to the website later on or live right now are not positive and sure about your salvation, pray with Megan, okay, as we pray this. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus.
I ask you to forgive all my sins.
I ask you to forgive all my sins.
Anything I've ever said or done that was not pleasing to you.
Anything I've ever said or done that's not pleasing to you.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Messiah.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Messiah.
That he came to this earth and died on a cross for my sins and my sicknesses.
That he came to this earth and died on the cross for my sins and sicknesses.
I believe that he is a risen Lord.
I believe that he is a risen Lord.
That he came out of the tomb alive.
That he came out of the tomb alive.
And that he forever lives in heaven beside the Father.
That he forever lives in heaven beside the Father.
I accept you now, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior.
I accept you now, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior.
I invite you to come in and live on the inside of me.
I invite you to come in and live on the inside of me.
And I thank you for the relationship that I now have with you.
And I thank you for the relationship that I now have with you.
You're my God, and I am your child.
You're my God, and I am your child.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Woo! Final thought, Betty, and then we got to get one from Megan and get out of here. We're almost done. Go ahead.
I want the listening audience to realize that they are an overcomer.
Amen.
That they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them.
Amen.
That if you have a need, ask, and it shall be given.
Amen.
It shall be given to you.
Amen. Praise God. Woo! Betty, I love having you on the show. You're just great. What a wonderful friend you are, too. And Megan, final words?
Well, the only thing I can say is that there is no
problem too big for God to handle.
Amen.
Amen.
So don't be too prideful or too proud to ask for his help.
Amen.
Because he wants to help you.
Amen.
Just like Hannah, reach out, reach
Amen.
Out. Well, we welcome you to our services if you're in the Tampa Bay area. Anytime. Sunday mornings are at 10:30 in our brand new location. We've been there 2 months and we absolutely love it. I can't wait for you two to see it. It is absolutely wonderful. 21933 US Highway 19 North, basically at the corner of Drew and 19 if you're in Clearwater. Go to our website, www.beaconofhopeministries.com. You'll have clear directions on how to get to it. Basically at the corner of Drew and 19, 21933. U.S. Highway 19, Sunday mornings at 10:30, Wednesday nights, 7 o'clock Bible study, preceded by prayer meeting, which starts about 6:15. And then this radio broadcast live every single Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock, right here, Tampa Bay time. And I hope y'all set your clocks back, and we're in that new season of the year. So Betty and Megan, we're on the same time, though, aren't we, from Indiana and Florida?
Yes, ma'am.
It's pretty cool. Thank you, Betty. Thank you, Megan. God bless each of you listeners. Tell somebody about this show, Living the Good Life, and go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and you can hear a lot of radio shows. There are a ton there. This has been Pastor Marcia and Betty and Megan teaching you, talking to you, and chatting with you about the Word of God this day from Beacon of Hope Ministries. God bless you. We'd like to hear from you. Pastor at BOHMGlobal.com. God bless you. Have a good week. See you next week.
TAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.